Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Top of the morning, Dan and Amy. So as panic was spreading after Silicon Valley Bank collapsed at the end of last week, there was the typical misreporting by a DC press corps that is financially illiterate and disinterested in fact-checking. And so they got something wrong that I posted about over the weekend. The quote-unquote contagion was allegedly spreading, and the reporting was on Signature Bank in New York. As we talked about with Chris Whalen early in the program, Signature Bank in New York had a unique issue, just like Silicon Valley Bank had a unique issue. They were different unique issues. The Signature Bank in New York unique issue was their position in crypto. But Signature Bank of New York is not Signature Bank of Chicago. They're completely different banks. And ABC News used the logo from Signature Bank of Chicago in reporting about Signature Bank of New York, which of course created all kinds of consternation among Signature Bank of Chicago clients because they saw the logo on Clinton Foundation Donor Zero's Sunday program in the reporting. Completely different, both in terms of the actual institutions as well as how they operate. And Signature Bank of Chicago has none of the problems that these other banks have had over the last several days. So we wanted to get our friend Kevin Bestuga, who's the co-founder of Signature Bank of Chicago, on to talk more about this and set the record straight. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Amy. Good to talk to you guys.
I thought what you and your co-founders, Mick and Brian, did over the weekend was really smart, too. This may be only something I assume only Signature Bank clients saw, but you sent out an email detailing this and also providing your personal phone numbers in case any banking clients had any questions so you could stop some of any panic that was afoot before it started.
Right. You know, after the, the misreporting yesterday morning, that kind of set some things in motion, and we felt like we needed to get out ahead of any story that was going to happen with Signature Bank New York. Obviously, none of us thought that the FDIC was going to shut down, over $100 billion bank at 5:30 on a Sunday night. It was fairly surprising, but we've been trying to message to our clients and just people in the Chicago market in general that we're a separate and distinct institution. We're chartered in the state of Illinois. Signature Bank New York was obviously chartered in New York, but we want to assure people that our capital ratio, our liquidity ratio, our balance sheet is extremely strong. And I think, in times like these, communication is key. So appreciate you guys allowing me to come on.
Yeah, well, what happened with Signature Bank in New York?
You know, Amy, that kind of remains to be seen. I talked to Dan yesterday, and I think the Wall Street Journal did a really good job in their Saturday front page article on Silicon Valley, sort of detailing what happened there and the dominoes that fell. As far as Signature Bank New York goes, I think what the regulators saw was probably people taking big short sell positions attempting to over the weekend and assumed that it was going to be a bloodbath this morning as far as their stock price, which, like with Silicon Valley Bank, in turn caused depositors to panic and essentially run on the bank. So I think they were anticipating that. It remains to be seen whether there were a ton of inherent credit issues with the bank, meaning bad loans, but I think the postmortem on that is going to come out rather quickly.
Well, that's another important distinction. Signature Bank Chicago, your bank, privately held, locally run.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And this this weekend did nothing but reaffirm the fact that the three of us want nothing to do with being publicly traded, especially with the speed at which information travels with the 24-hour news cycle. It's, as we saw yesterday morning with the misreporting on ABC News, we had to get out in front of this before it took on a life of its own.
Yeah, and that and this, you're talking about the speed of information, and that was really key. I mean, arguably, Silicon Valley Bank wasn't it didn't necessarily have to go the way that it went, but when there was a call to shore up $1.8 billion in losses that Silicon Valley Bank experienced by having to sell bonds before their maturity, that created panic, and then that panic spread to the Twitter, which spread to all, you know, the VC community, which caused this run on bank, which caused the run on that bank.
Yeah, and I think, you know, their deposit base is pretty unique, right? There's a lot of obviously VC firms that were banking with Silicon Valley Bank because they've been in that tech market for a long time, and they were really kind of first ones on the frontier of that business. So they had a lot of depositors that were extremely substantial in terms of the amount that they had deposited, and naturally, people that are in the VC business choose to take risk with their investments, and they're very risky. So they certainly don't want to take risk with their deposits.
Yeah, and again, Silicon Valley Bank, just to distinguish it, not all banks are created equally, operate the same, have the same customer base, and this is important to understand. Silicon Valley Bank, by its very nature, as you were describing, they had a lot of their deposits were from IPOs and SPAC deals. In fact, the Wall Street Journal reported Silicon Valley Bank banked almost half of all IPO proceeds in the last 2 years. And so that's just a very different client base and dynamic than, say, Signature Bank of Chicago has.
Correct. Very different. You know, they had a massive influx of cash in the last 18 months via those IPO deposits, which in turn caused them to invest in the bond market like most banks do. We certainly do as well. And with a rising interest rate environment, bonds that were purchased in 2020, 2021, 2022 have an inherent unrealized loss. And they were forced to sell those bonds to generate liquidity to fund the deposit outflows. And it just created, a death spiral, if you will. So
is that something management should have seen? I mean, obviously, they understand that bond prices and interest rates have an inverse relationship. And so should they have been caught in that predicament? Or was this sort of was it moral hazard created by, you know, government policy over the last several years? Was it mismanagement? Was it a combination of the two?
I think it's some combination of the two, Dan. It's tough to say, without really getting into the organization and talking to people about how it was managed.
Yeah.
Certainly, there's been a lot of press over the weekend about the rate at which the Fed raised interest rates, which caused this unrealized loss on a lot of banks' balance sheets. What I don't think anybody could have predicted was the speed of the outflow of cash. I mean, I've seen a couple different numbers, but Thursday at Silicon Valley Bank could not have been a fun day. And with the level of automation that customers have and access to their funds, the money was flowing out by wires that people were generating on their mobile apps. So really, when you talk about the speed at which this happened, it's incredible.
But you know what's incredible, too? According to NBC News, they said that the bosses gave themselves a bonus check on Wednesday. Everybody got a bonus check.
I did see that, and
yeah.
I didn't see the article. I did hear that, and don't quote me on this. I don't know for sure, but supposedly the CEO of the bank had been unloading shares over the last couple of weeks. So
yeah, $3.5 million worth.
A pretty big indication of moral hazard. But there's going to be some questions that need to be answered there.
Yeah, the shares used to be $600 and now they're nothing.
So what's your handle on the banking sector right now in Chicago, which obviously you know intimately and to the extent you have comment generally nationally?
Yeah, I think, what what the regulators are trying to do, and what they tried to do in closing Signature Bank last night with such speed, is to just stabilize the perception of the strength of the system, right? So the Federal Reserve announced a program yesterday where every bank can now pledge investment securities at the Fed to gain access to liquidity if needed. That's certainly a welcome measure. So that's basically giving banks the ability to pledge those securities that are underwater to create liquidity to fund customers' deposit outflows. We received communication from the Federal Home Loan Bank of Chicago this morning that they are ready and able to help in terms of supplying liquidity to its member banks, of which we are one. So they're doing a lot to stabilize the system and just prevent panic. People are certainly concerned if they have balances over $250,000, which are uninsured. I would not be surprised if the FDIC did what they did back in the Great Recession, in that saying basically all deposits are formally insured. I'm not sure if they're ready to take that step yet. I think it'll depend on what happens this week with deposit outflows.
Chris Whalen, who's an investment banker from New York, we talked to earlier in the program, basically said, look, this is going to be a mess that the banking sector has to clean up and will pay for in terms of loss of shareholder value, as in the case of, for example, Silicon Valley Bank, and depending on exactly what the Fed does, perhaps with respect to some uninsured deposits as well. Is that your handle? Is this a blip, or is this something that is going to have to be addressed as things develop in the coming weeks, where we're not going to exactly know the full extent of this for a while?
I think it's the latter, Dan. I think it's this is going to take a while to develop. I think if there's a bright side to this, it will force bank customers to really get to know their bank and get to know how strong it is, or what its weaknesses are, what are its lending practices, what are the sectors that they lend to that could have some exposure. And I do think it's going to take a while to leak out and rectify. I think the biggest risk right now is just depositor perception that, I can only keep $250,000 at each bank because that's what's insured. I think the FDIC is going to get out in front of that this week, but it will take time to, restore that confidence back in the system.
At Signature Bank of Chicago, your bank, what were like some of the recurring questions that you got from clients and your response to address some of these concerns you're describing generally?
Most of it was just confusion with Signature Bank New York. It started last week with CNBC, and a bunch of outlets put out an article about what was happening with Silicon Valley Bank, and all those articles were mentioning Signature Bank as having cryptocurrency exposure. They were sort of pioneers in that market. And so just the natural confusion with the two banks having similar names, really started all the conversations and concern from customers. But I think what sets us apart is, first of all, we're not a $100 billion bank. So we're small enough and we're community focused enough that our depositors know who we are. And we have those personal relationships with the decision makers at the companies that we bank. So the three of us certainly took a lot of calls over the weekend. We're going to be making a lot of calls today. We put out, some clarifying emails, as you referred to. Anyone who has any questions about the bank, we put out a statement on signaturebank.bank that gives access to the three of us. Our cell phones are posted, and I encourage anyone that has any questions or any concerns to contact us, and we'll address them.
All right.
Oh, does ABC owe you an apology for using the wrong logo?
Or
they reached out
one?
To you?
Yeah.
Did they recant?
Our PR